Monday, November 25th, 1996, Eatonville, Florida.
I'm speaking with N.Y. Nathiri.
Okay. How long has your family lived here?
My family, meaning my grandmother forward, I'd say about 60-some-odd years.
Okay. And that was your mother's...
My mother's mother and father.
Uh-huh. And you said they moved here from...
They moved here from Lakeland, Florida.
Yeah. And wasn't your mother's father the mayor?
Yes, he was a mayor in the 30s, A.N. Johnson, Augustus Newsom Johnson.
Okay. And so your mother grew up here, and... She have other siblings?
Yes, there were seven. Uh-huh. There were seven brothers and sisters. As I said to you, my grandfather had come to Eatonville to make his fortune again. He had lost his business in the Depression. We're talking 1929, so they came in 1930 because Eatonville was a place that that he was told he could start over. They needed buildings. They needed the kind of work that he did. And in fact, the first building that he built was a schoolhouse. There was no schoolhouse. That's my understanding before he came. So he built the elementary school.
And your father was from...
From Orlando. His mother had come... He was born in Lake City, which is a little bit up from the north, in north of Gainesville. But they had moved to Orlando, and I'm not quite certain whether it was the 20s that they moved to Orlando.
Do you have, some of your family, I assume, is buried here in Eatonville? Or
well, yes, there is a graveyard. Uh-huh. The Eatonville graveyard is located in Maitland, but my grandfather is buried here. My mother's mother and her family are buried in Sanford, because Sanford was really my grandmother's home.
Okay. Why is Eatonville important to you?
Well, Eatonville is important to me on a number of levels. Emotionally, it's important because it is my hometown, and it's where I grew up, and I have the fondest memories of Eatonville. In some ways it seems kind of silly, but Eatonville represents an ideal childhood for me, even though I didn't have an ideal childhood. But when I say it was not a utopian childhood, but it was certainly a wonderful childhood, and I want all of my descendants to know Eatonville. I want them to have the ability to know the Eatonville that I knew. And the Eatonville that I knew was lots of orange trees, lots of wooded area, being able to play with friends up the road, having a cocoon of emotionally supportive relationships in my family and my family's friends, in the business people. I grew up in Eatonville with people, and I've never met any better people. Never met any people who were more wholesome, who were more intellectually stimulating. Because of Eatonville's roots, I was exposed to very bright people, people who my mother's principal, Cap'n Hall, had a solar panel in his home. I'm not exaggerating. I don't know people who are intellectually more challenging than the people that I was exposed to in Eatonville. Really one of the truest patriots I've ever met in this country, was George Townsend. George Townsend wept eloquently about the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who was really? Mm-hmm. And this was back in the 1950s in a rural southern town, an African American. You know, people might not expect that.
Mm-hmm.
But, and of course, my grandmother, my mother's mother, always talked to me about W.E.B. Du Bois, and we know today that he was one of the intellectual giants of the 20th century world.
That's right. She went to school.
He taught her in Atlanta University. She was a school teacher, and I think that she got some of her training under him, and of course, Zora Neale Hurston. I mean, these were the names that were part and parcel of my intellectual upbringing. But then, of course, for me, all the people in Eatonville were African American, so that meant that my world was a world of no boundaries, no artificial boundaries. Really, what Zora Neale Hurston says, I mean, I feel exactly the same way, because though she experienced this Eatonville in the 1900s, I experienced in the 1900s, 1910s, I experienced this Eatonville in the 1950s and 60s. So that Eatonville was there then, and in some ways it's still here. And I feel it's very important to hold on to that Eatonville so subsequent generations can know that Eatonville. So on an intellectual basis, it's important to me as an adult to do my part to continue that heritage. But emotionally, it's just because it's a place of warm memories for me.
Right. So it both has to do with family and with the social system implicit in having a black township.
That's right.
Yeah.
And especially because today that is, it's not possible to see that often. And so again, intellectually, Eatonville represents something that the world at large needs to know about. It needs to be able to experience it. And if we don't try to preserve it, then people will not know it. They will not know it experientially. They may be able to read about it and say, oh, I wonder, as a matter of fact, you know, in one of the books, it was either Dust Tracks on a Road. One of the introductions points to the fact that when Hurston wrote one of those works, some white author said, "Could it be? Could this actually be the truth?" And this is back in the 1930s. And Darwin Gamble of Florida Public Radio mentions in his lead-in to a piece that. Crossroads did, said, in fact, it is true, and it actually is still here today. But, you know, so if you could imagine back in the 1930s that people could ask, could it possibly be true, then as we go into the 21st century, if we don't hold on to Eatonville, then people will just say, you know, they might wonder, how could that ever have happened?
Yeah. You mentioned that your mother said, was it your mother that Eatonville was just is a town where
everybody's all related to each other.
Yes,
and that has its good sides and its bad sides, but she said essentially Eatonville is a lot of families.
Yes.
And that somehow or the other, they are all related and are in-laws. And in fact, the more I learn actually about the people in Eatonville by name, and, you know, it does seem to be very much the case.
Like the man we were talking to earlier, Mr. Alton,
that's right.
Yes, and he turned out to be related to a number of families. You didn't know he was related.
I didn't realize. I didn't realize, but in fact.
So, and as you mentioned also, then, a lot of these families have a lot of stability here, and there are generations of people.
Yes. As a matter of fact, what we're seeing, I would say, in the last 10 years are people coming back because they know they have property here. They are coming back, because it's more quiet, or they feel it's safer, or in fact what they've experienced outside of Eatonville is not really enough to keep them wherever they were. Mm-hmm. The president of our board, Ernestine McWhite, said that she has lived all over the country, and there's no place that she likes better than Eatonville.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's see. One of my questions was, and I'll just mention it because I know the answer, whether you're familiar with the life and work of O'Neill Hurston, and of course you are, and it's something, appears to be something you grew up with and learned.
That's right. Because, as I say, Zora Neale Hurston and W.E.B. Du Bois were used as role models for what we could achieve and what was expected of us.
Uh-huh.
And particularly because it took Zora Neale Hurston such a long time to actually finish school, we were told, you know, look at her, she persevered, and she is really known around, she's really known around the world now. Mm-hmm. When this was being said to me in the 50s, and she certainly wasn't enjoying the same notoriety that she had during the Harlem Renaissance. But of course, my grandmother was, you know, was an educated woman, and in fact, she did know that this was the case. But as we look at the time by 1960, how Zora Neale Hurston died in poverty and unknown, it might seem strange to people to hear that, but for people in Eatonville, Zora Neale Hurston had a palpable presence because she grew up in this town, and there were people who really admired her a great deal. There were some people who detested her because she wrote about their families.
Mm-hmm.
But I was listening the other day to an NPR piece about John Steinbeck.
Mm-hmm.
It really is the case with all these writers.
Mm-hmm.
When they start writing about their hometowns and they, with their literary eyes and their understanding of human emotions and what you say, those things that drive human beings.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody really, you know, you're not popular when you do that. So if you're Woody Guthrie, Zora Neale Hurston, John Steinbeck, you know, you can run into difficulty because it's too close. It's too close. But so there are people who resented, you know, the fact, especially in what were called her Eatonville anthology stories of the kinds of things that she said.
Are there descendants, or not direct descendants, but descendants from her family who are still living in this area?
In this area, yes. Not in Eatonville, but in Winter Park, in Seminole County.
Uh-huh.
She has a niece, Vivian Hurston Bowden,
mm-hmm.
and she has a nephew, Clifford Hurston Jr., who live here.
Mm-hmm.
They live in the Central Florida area.
Yeah. So, do they participate somewhat in the Eatonville?
Well, at festival time, yes. We are very proud that the Hurston family members each year increase, and you know they're paying their own way. We don't have the ability, you know, to be flying people in and housing them. I think that these generations, her nieces, nephews, their children, their cousins, they're very proud of they're very proud of Hurston, and I think that they are proud to be identified with her.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, I got a call this weekend asking me to set up a room so that they could have a family meeting. And I asked them, well, when are they coming?
Mm-hmm.
When are the different people coming? They said, well, you let us know because you get all the information. I said okay, because we do, you know, send them and ask them to let us know when they are coming in, so we'll have some idea.
Yeah.
But yes, we're pleased that they are part of this event.
Okay. Well, I wanted to get some information about things that were about continuity of different aspects of traditional culture, some of which are covered in her book, and I think there's other things that aren't in her books necessarily, you know, that are still important aspects of Southern Black culture, you know, as we were talking about earlier, you know, about some of the church kinds of things, the Cavendish dinners and the prayer meetings, things like that. Uh-huh.
Well, you know, in Eatonville, there are 14 churches.
14?
Yes. Yes. Which will give you a sense of the spiritual continuity. I mean, really, there are 14 churches.
We're talking about an area that's
about one square mile, yes. Can we click it just
here?
Sure. Oh, okay. Now, and you had mentioned, what was the oldest church? The St. Lawrence?
The St. Lawrence African Methodist Episcopal Church.
Uh-huh.
And that church
was established in 1882, so it's actually older than the establishment of the town, because Edenville was incorporated in 1887. So the spiritual roots of the town are really very important. And this is an aside, but actually when you look at Edenville and how it has been able to survive, even when there are things clearly are amiss, it's almost by, some people say it's only by the grace of God that the town is, I mean, you know, because, but, and I say that to say that people really do, the spiritual force is a living force. Mm-hmm. I mean, yes, people say that about the town, but they also say about themselves, about the hard times, and this is why I've been able to do this, because, mm-hmm. you know, because of my relationship with the Creator. So, yes, 14 churches. Macedonia, the church where Zordon Hurston's father pastored, uh-huh. is still here. So you have the three oldest, I think, are St. Lawrence A&E, uh-huh. Macedonia, and Open Door. Uh-huh. And I hope, hopefully you get a chance to see, Open Door is really a very small church. And that, today, that is almost, that I would say that is exclusively an Edenville church. Uh-huh. And what that also means then is that in certain churches, certain families
yeah.
have been members of that church
uh-huh.
for generations.
Uh-huh.
That would be the case.
Uh-huh.
For example, my mother has been a member of St. Lawrence
mm-hmm.
for years, and the Mosley family
mm-hmm.
for years, and the Alexander family for years.
Mm-hmm.
For example, George Alexander is a member of St. Lawrence. His wife is a member of Macedonia,
mm-hmm.
and the children at Macedonia. But they even say that when the churches first started, those two, they used to go to Macedonia one Sunday and to St. Lawrence on the other Sunday. And also because the churches were in the neighborhood
mm-hmm.
where the houses were,
yeah.
that, you know, there was that kind of close geographical proximity as well.
I'm going to ask you about some things that now that I mean, showed up in some of her books, and just see if you can let me know if some of these things are still around.
Uh-huh.
There were quite a lot of different kinds of food traditions that she mentioned. Gingerbread, fried fish, coleslaw, fried chicken, rabbit,
Purloin is next gizzard's livers cooked
uh-huh.
in rice, boiled in rice,
okay.
without
yeah.
a doubt, yes.
Uh-huh.
When we have our annual business uh-huh. meetings, you can always count, usually you can count on somebody bringing chicken purloin.
Okay.
As opposed to pilaf. Pilaf, that's a different kind, of, that's
uh-huh.
a different,
uh-huh.
yes, chicken purloin.
Okay. And let's see, also pig's feet, chitlins, then she talked about hot peanuts, black-eyed peas, biscuits, hoe cakes, cane syrup, and just chewing on sugar cane.
Cane.
So,
well, now when I was growing up, you could still chew on sugar cane, and it depends on if somebody is coming through, and sometimes you really still see these men come, you know, you have a pickup truck,
yeah.
and they are selling greens, tomatoes like that on the
mm-hmm.
back of their
right.
truck. So yes, you still do see people coming through
uh-huh.
Edenville like that. And you certainly can get boiled peanuts
uh-huh.
that way. I don't know whether I've seen sugar cane in some time, but when I was a little girl,
yeah.
you could get a piece and you cut it off and you suck on it.
Mm-hmm.
So to the extent, all of that is still here,
uh-huh.
with the exceptions I say, but I don't know about the sugar cane.
Okay. And hoe cakes and cane syrup?
Hoe cakes and
uh-huh.
cane syrup, that would be what the people would call pancakes nowadays,
right.
except I think hoe cakes, and you have to check with them, hoe cakes may be a little bit heavier
mm-hmm.
than pancakes,
yeah.
but it is
Yeah. As a matter of fact, people used to make whole cakes and cinnamon in their bucket lunches.
Uh-huh.
You know, when the men were doing construction or going out in the field.
Right. Okay. Are there any other local or regional food traditions that go on that you hear that I haven't mentioned? Certain kinds of cakes?
Well, you certainly know about grits. Of course, grits is not peculiar to Eatonville, but I'll tell you, grits and fish.
Uh-huh. Like grits and grunts is what they have farther down.
Are they fried fish?
They're small little fried fish.
Well, now these are, but these are, I'll tell you, with all the lakes here, and people will still eat this if they can get speckled perch, bass, or brim. There's nothing better for breakfast than hot grits and fried fish.
Uh-huh.
Now, these are not tiny fish. These are sometimes they will eat catfish.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, to the extent that they do game, you know, hunt game. Now, here, what are those little birds? They're not pheasants. Pheasants are up north. What are those? Quail. Yes, quail.
Uh-huh.
My uncles used to go quail hunting.
Mm-hmm.
And also people eat soft shell turtle.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing that they eat, people talk about, is possum.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, we talk, the educated person would say opossum. But possum is...
I've never actually heard anyone say that.
Yeah, well, possum and sweet potatoes, but you have to be very careful because a possum has to be demusked, you know, because it's like, you know.
Yeah.
But yes, you can hear people talking about possum, sweet potatoes, and collard greens, and cornbread.
Mm-hmm.
That's supposed to be a very good meal.
Uh-huh.
No, I don't remember. We didn't eat possum in our in our family.
Uh-huh.
But,
you said this area used to be orange grove,
orange,
and I noticed, like in San Jose, they had a lemon tree out there,
and also grapefruit. I mean, you will see, when you visit at my mother, she has all kinds of trees and flowers. But when I was growing up, we had tangerines, we had navel oranges, we had temple oranges, we had squeezing oranges, we had avocado pears, we had mango tree.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact,
they grow mangoes.
But you have to be very, they're not, you have to, that's a very precious tree.
Yeah.
And the storm came one year, I've forgotten what, and then we didn't have mangoes.
Yeah.
But when I was growing up,
uh-huh.
a huge mango tree was in my grandmother's yard.
Yeah.
And same thing with avocado pears. And I can't remember, I mean, it takes, you have to really, you know, nurture an avocado pear, but we had them from time to time.
Yeah. And you mentioned they did canning.
Guava. Oh, yes,
and
guava jelly.
Yeah, any other kind of canning, like
well,
mayha or anything like that?
That I don't know about, but persimmon.
Yeah.
I know that we still have persimmon on our property. And, of course, now there's a lady in Eatonville who has peaches and pears because when she gets them, she calls my mother.
Uh-huh.
No, I would say that is, it's really kind of quaint when you, they do a lot of that, you know, they exchange.
Yeah.
You know, they send a bag of fruit or, you know, let you know that I've got this on my tree and you can come and get some.
Mm-hmm.
People who are even of the same, what you call economic class, but Eatonville is all mixed in, so a teacher will call a domestic servant and say, you know, come and get this.
Yeah.
Because they don't really look upon themselves like that. There are different stations, but they're all here in Eatonville together, and so there really is that that mixing, that you know, that real mixing of... it's neighborliness. Eatonville is also very political.
Uh-huh.
Very political. These people walk and talk politics.
Uh-huh.
And it's really a part of their lives.
Uh-huh.
That can mean for some instability, as we've seen over the last 10 years. But they really, I mean, they chew this stuff. I mean, they just talk it.
Yeah.
But they really do.
Uh-huh.
And they... And I think that comes from a sense that this is their town.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is their town. They have elections every year. Somebody is always standing for election.
Mm-hmm.
And
so, is there a good voter turnout for local elections?
Yes, actually, someone told me that we had better voter turnout for local elections than for national or state. Someone was making that comment that this time Eatonville didn't turn out as much for the national, but it's it's not except. I mean, I think that we usually have 65 or 70%
who are voting. That's exceptional for a local.
Yeah. Yes, because of, you know.
Mm-hmm. Usually, it's the other way.
But this is, of course, you know, the government that affects you most is your local government.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm going to have to
go out to work now. Oh, all righty.
Prince said he'll be in just in a minute.
Okay. Thank you, ma'am.
There were a lot of sayings that Kristen had in her work. Mm-hmm. And I'm just wondering, Shark, if I heard you say something about... she didn't have it in there.
But my goodness, my grandmother
was saying you attributed it to your grandmother.
Yes, that she would say, and of course, this is if a bullfrog had wings, he wouldn't bump his head. You know, when we were growing up, we would say, well, what if? I can remember. This is usually what happened when a child asked an adult, well, can't I do this? What if I'm? So if a bullfrog, if. If a bullfrog had wings, he wouldn't bump his head so hard. So that means, you know, you can't talk about something that is not a fact. Excuse me. And then my grandmother used to say that talk is cheap. Uh-huh. Excuse me. It takes money to buy land.
Uh-huh.
And she would tell me, I didn't realize until I read Mules and Men, about Rawhead and Bloody Bones, which are folk tales.
Uh-huh.
She would scare the living daylights out of me by telling me about Rawhead and Bloody Bones.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you don't just think Rawhead and Bloody Bones.
It's very disgusting. I think we'd run out of the room.
But these would be sometimes if I want a real good story.
Yeah.
She would tell me those stories, and then of course wish in one hand and spit in the other, and see what fills up the first, because wishes don't count for anything where a spit can accumulate.
Yeah. What about this? She had this way that occurred a couple times that I haven't heard before. I think it was to begin or sort of mark a story. It was like step or end a story. Stepped on a pin, the pin danced. That's the way the story
went. Well, I think that is sort of like a ritual rhyme to begin or conclude. Now, I don't remember that, but I can certainly tell you about the children's games because that were the same. We have a tape that comes to the Library of Congress via Florida Folklife and Bureau, and you can hear them. These, I guess you saw around where children go around and they're clapping their hands, or they go pat a cake, baker's man, pat your hand as fast as you can, then roll it. You know, these little things are little Sally Walker sitting in a saucer, ride Sally ride, wipe your weeping eyes, put your hands on your hips, let your backbone slip, shake it to the east, Sally, shake it to the west, Sally, shake it to the one that you love the best, Sally, you know.
Uh-huh.
And actually, you see, this is interesting. You can see children, and you know where they have. You can see children from India, you know, because now, of course, Florida has become just a melting pot or a stew or whatever you want to call it. And you know where these children have gone to school. They've gone to school with black children because these games, you know, they're sitting up there, these patty cake games and like that. It's because in school, they and you know, they do not change. If you go to Hungerford right now, you'd see it.
Really?
Oh, yes, without a doubt. Because with my daughter, the reason I know is because I said to her, Aisha, you all are still doing that?
They don't
go away.
What about the one, there stands a bluebird, la-la-la. Actually, then it goes up, I didn't know that verse, but I knew some other verses. There's a brown girl in the rain, la-la-la. But then, that's a verse from Jamaica. I don't know if that verse occurs here, but then there's other verses. Do you recognize that at all?
That one, unless I heard someone sing it, because you know what she's talking about is the fact that on some of these songs, people do add.
Yeah.
They can...
And some of the verses do become standard. Well, I don't know exactly when that occurs in the book, but I recognized it was a game that went through. What about Going Round the Mountain, do you know? That game, or Sissy in the Barn,
Sitting in the barn, I think I remember, but I don't know about going around the mountain.
Okay, and then there was one called Chick My Chick.
Yeah, Chickamauga. Well, we called it, but yes, but I played that, though I don't remember. Maybe what it would take to see children doing this now is actually go to a playground, mm-hmm. and because sometimes the stories or the title might have changed,
yeah.
but they are still doing the same
basic thing.
That's right.
Right. Yeah. There was also a custom I'd never heard about before of the Christmas gift, where kids went out on Christmas Day and said Christmas gift to somebody.
Oh, and then they get something.
Yes.
Oh, yes, yes. Oh, yes, yes. Oh, yes. Yes. I'm sorry.
Does it still go on?
Well, I would say that it certainly went on when I was a little girl.
Yeah.
And yes, that's right.
Kids would know about
that. That's right, because that's how you can get stuff. Christmas gift, that's what I mean. And even some adults, that's right, because that's how you get things. Or that's how you...
I know from being in different places around the country that there's people called root doctors everywhere.
Yes.
Is there anything like that or any belief system like that around here, or did there used to be?
You'd have to ask older people about that.
Yeah.
You'd have to ask the older people and
is that something that's going to be a sensitive subject?
Maybe not at that, but maybe they could talk to you about some, about when they were younger.
Good afternoon.
She mentioned a lot of other tales, like Jack tales, and mm-hmm. I wonder, and then the Jack and Old Massa tales, which I think have largely gone by the wayside. Mm-hmm. I don't know, but I think that was maybe another generation
of people.
But there were also stories like Why the Porpoise Has Its Tail, mm-hmm. Mrs. Wendell, Mrs. Water talking. Are there any of those kind of things that you learned when you were a kid? Or?
Well, I would say not so much the folk. Mm-hmm. You remember when I was talking about Rawhead mm-hmm. and Greybones. Those were uh-huh. of that. But no, the Old Massa, John and Old Massa mm-hmm. stories, Brer Fox and Brer Rabbit, of uh-huh. course. Those stories, but those are Uncle Remus stories that uh-huh. that she told, let's say the authentic tales, yeah. as opposed to what Joel Chandler has.
Right.
But
did,
no.
Did you learn, but you heard the rare...
Oh yes, Brer Rabbit and Brer Fox. Oh.
Did you pass those on to your daughter?
Actually, no, because I don't, I wasn't that kind of uh-huh. parent
yeah.
in terms of... Uh-huh. No, because we were reading African tales or,
yeah.
I'm trying to think of, I think I may have read some of Zora Hurston's
yeah.
folk tales that were like mm-hmm. Miss Wynne and Miss Water, mm-hmm. but not to sit down and, you know, I think it was a different time mm-hmm. in terms of the kinds of, for my daughter's continuity has been being in Edenville, going to Hungerford School, elementary school, because I knew that she would get a certain kind of care.
Yeah.
And that care is that you know that this is Miss Ella Dinkins' granddaughter, you know this, you know who her mother is,
mm-hmm.
you know that you can, if something is wrong, mm-hmm. She's not doing as well as she might, if she had difficulty, that you're going to hear about it. Knowing that if a child comes to school ungroomed, that a teacher or principal is going to, if that within that school environment, because of course this is now an integrated situation, but that there's enough density
mm-hmm.
of people with that background mm-hmm. that they are going to take notice or mm-hmm. say, you know, why didn't you comb your hair? Or, mm-hmm. And to be with children who come from this,
mm-hmm.
you know, come from this background,
mm-hmm.
and so that she could live on the land when she leaves school. I mean, essentially, sleep in Winter Park. You know,
mm-hmm.
when she's able to come and climb the trees, or
mm-hmm.
You know, get to go pick tangerines,
mm-hmm.
or play with a cat, or
mm-hmm.
fish from the Rilevant lakefront. So.
Mm-hmm.
know the lake as a place to get food and that kind of thing.
Uh-huh. Right. Did you sense it
get
to come here too, or?
No, my sons did not come.
Uh-huh.
My sons, we were living in Orlando and went to Park, and so they were too far away.
Uh-huh.
But
yeah.
My working here every day, I would come home.
Yeah. Okay.
From first grade.
Mm-hmm. Were there any lullabies or anything that you were brought up with or anything like that? I know she mentioned something. Mr. Frog?
Well, the one that I had, hush, little baby, don't say a word.
Uh-huh.
Mama's gonna buy you a mockingbird.
Uh-huh.
If that mockingbird don't sing, Mama's gonna buy you a diamond ring. If that diamond ring don't shine, Mama's gonna buy you. I forgot.
Yes,
you know,
yeah.
And it just
goes
on and
on
like that. And,
yeah. That's an old traditional one. Yeah. She also refers to stuff. Well, I don't imagine it's around the Polk County Blues.
Well, that's, you know, that's down in Lakeland. Down in Lakeland.
Yeah. What else? Also a card game called Florida Flip.
Florida Flip, I don't know, but Tonk, of course, I know.
Oh,
Tonk?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yes, Tonk, yes. And people, I can assure you, I know for a fact that people are still playing Tonk. Kids play Tonk, I know.
Uh-huh.
I mean, to me, it's a very boring game, but even, my, I mean, I know, because it's 3-2 or something. Yet, listen, my daughter plays Tonk,
uh-huh.
So I, that definitely lives.
Uh-huh.
I don't know exactly where she may have learned that in school, but believe, yes.
Uh-huh.
I know about Tonk, and now Florida Flip, as again, these women that you're going to meet,
uh-huh.
Some of them certainly. And what time is it?
It's, I've been keeping an eye. My watch says 2:17, and it's a little slow.
Slow, okay, because I'm really concerned. Mr. Domingo needs to get in
uh-huh.
here, because I've got to go at 2:30 and pick up these women.
Do you want me to stay
and
here?
And I'll, no,
good afternoon. Very good, I just called in. Yeah. So we're going to all the stuff in here, and I'm going to take it down to my mother, and then I'm going to go grab the people.
Hey, I'm speaking with Ella Dinkins, NY's mother.
Yeah.
Whom we referred to earlier.
Yeah. The people in Eatonville still do some of the same things that they did when we first came to Eatonville. They still garden, they still fish,
mm-hmm.
they still hunt,
uh-huh.
they still grow trees, fruit trees,
uh-huh.
and they still harvest.
Uh-huh.
Citrus.
Uh-huh.
And citrus at that time was one of the main things that they did here. And of course they still have what we call church parties.
Uh-huh. Like covered dish supper?
Covered dish supper, we still do
uh-huh.
that. And
what kind of things do you bring to a covered dish supper?
To a covered dish supper you bring pearl rice, fried chicken,
mm-hmm.
collard greens,
mm-hmm.
okra,
mm-hmm.
Hog head cheese, that's a dish that's
uh-huh.
made out from the
uh-huh.
hog.
Is that like souse?
Souse, yes,
uh-huh.
yes,
uh-huh.
yes. And they still have barbecue,
uh-huh.
and they used to have, we don't do this now, have turkey shoots for Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Oh,
they
yeah.
had turkey shoots
uh-huh.
out here.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, years ago, each family always helped
mm-hmm.
the other family. They needed to dig a well.
Mm-hmm.
When the men finished working in the daytime, they
mm-hmm.
would come at night and put a big fire out and
mm-hmm.
drill a well for a family.
Mm-hmm.
And when the families got ill, they would always come and help.
Mm-hmm.
And there was always something for someone to do to help each other.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have to worry about closing our doors
mm-hmm.
at night. Now we have to worry about
mm-hmm.
closing
mm-hmm.
up the doors
mm-hmm.
and whatnot. And we always... there was always church,
mm-hmm.
and there was always school,
uh-huh.
and we had Hungerford School at that time, it was
mm-hmm.
a boarding school,
mm-hmm.
and we, all the children from the area around, there was no high school,
mm-hmm.
nowhere in Eatonville, nor Orange County, but Jones High, but all the children from Winter Garden, Oakland, and Tangerine, and other Winter Park came
mm-hmm.
to Hungerford School
uh-huh.
for their high school education.
Uh-huh.
And we, one year I won first prize for making a fruit cake
mm-hmm.
from the Orlando Fair.
Uh-huh.
And
What kind of fruitcake did you make?
Regular fruitcake with raisins and nuts and
uh-huh.
cherries and
uh-huh.
that thing. I made it from
uh-huh.
scratch.
Uh-huh.
And my teacher, Mrs. Hall, saved it to put it on the fair, and I won first prize for that.
Uh-huh.
And then at Homeford School, always won first prize for their produce
uh-huh.
because they had wonderful gardens out there,
mm-hmm.
and they had hogs and cows,
mm-hmm.
and they had mules.
Uh-huh.
And we just did
uh-huh.
everything
uh-huh.
that way.
I heard that NY was saying that that you do some canning, like guava jam. And
yes,
uh-huh.
I used to make guava jelly,
uh-huh.
and about 4 years ago, I found that a cold had killed back my guava tree,
uh-huh.
and a little sprout had come uh-huh. up in it, so I've grown that back to make guava jelly
uh-huh.
again, but the frost came last year and killed the cold,
uh-huh.
so we didn't get any guava
uh-huh.
jelly, but we do
uh-huh.
get guava jelly,
uh-huh.
yes.
Is there anything else like that, that people around here make? Like, I know I've read in Hurston's books.
Well, marmalade, orange marmalade was a big producing thing for the families.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, after you start having diets and whatnot, you don't make as much marmalade
uh-huh.
and jellies and jams as
uh-huh.
you used to do.
Uh-huh.
But then in our gardens, we all have more than we can use at one
mm-hmm.
time, so we always preserve that
mm-hmm.
by putting it in the freezer. We don't can like some people still can, but we
mm-hmm.
don't can as a general rule now. We put it in the freezer
uh-huh.
because it's easier
uh-huh.
to do it like that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Did you ever use things out of your gardens for teas, for medicinal teas or remedies or anything like that? Or?
My mother always in the spring of the year gave us Jerusalem oak tea.
Uh-huh.
And we still have some Jerusalem oak still in the yard now.
Uh-huh.
So we always did that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Anything else like that that you would use? Or?
Now, I never use this,
mm-hmm.
but I know I can't think of the name of it. It's crystal palmers.
Uh-huh.
They used to use that for headaches.
Uh-huh.
And of course, Zora did talk
mm-hmm.
about
uh-huh.
something about that in her book.
Uh-huh.
Yes. And of course, we all know the story about Lake Bell, where the big gator was down.
Oh, that's
at
right.
Lake Bell. So we knew about that. Lake Bell was just all you had to do. It wasn't streets like it is now, but I would just walk to the path and go down to Lake Bell.
Uh-huh.
And we always swam in Lake Sevilla. But we don't swim in anymore because it's all grown up with houses around
right.
the subdivisions. But we don't do that anymore.
Right. Uh-huh. Are there still gators in Lake
Bell? Oh,
Bell?
Yes. Oh,
are
yeah.
there?
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh. How about here?
Well, there was a gator
uh-huh.
out here. And because we have children
yeah.
here on both sides
sure.
of the lake, we called the game warden and they came and got it. And it was a 10-foot gator.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, really it was.
Uh-huh.
And I asked the man, because when he said, I'll bring it back around and let you see it, because he put a bait out on this side
uh-huh.
and on both sides of the lake.
Uh-huh.
And he didn't come this year, but he went on that side, and he came back and brought it, and it was a 10-footer. So I asked him, I said, is it male or female? So he put his hands down there in the pouch and said it was a male.
Yeah, those things scare me.
Well, that's, and then we always had a lot of orange groves
sure.
around.
Didn't they grow, wasn't it, this was a big
orange grove at one time,
yeah.
yes. And after the cold came,
yeah.
then the cold killed the groves back, and then they start putting in subdivision houses.
Right.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. But I understand that still quite a few families
Family.
Live around here that,
yes.
that have, there's been a lot of continuity.
Yes.
And, uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I'll ask these ladies too, but I know NY was mentioning, what other stories did she hear when she was young about the rawhead and bloody
raw
bones?
Rawhead, bloody bones?
Yeah.
Yeah. It'll be good now, rawhead and bloody bones will get you.
Uh-huh. Do kids around here still hear those stories?
I don't think they, maybe
uh-huh.
some parents do, but
uh-huh.
I've noticed this, every parent teaches their child about patty cake.
Yeah.
They all know
that's
about
right.
the patty
uh-huh.
cake. And you see children, come this patty cake, and they always know how
uh-huh.
to put their hands together
uh-huh.
the patty cake. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then the children, we used to have concerts, children would sing
uh-huh.
and do their little dances, not
uh-huh.
dances like they do now, but, you know, ring around the rose bush and
uh-huh.
little Sally Walker sat in the saucer, those kind of little things, and they played hopscotch. Some children still play hopscotch now.
Right. You used to be a school teacher, didn't you?
No, I was a service clerk at the telephone company.
Yeah, well, I know a lot of times school teachers really are around kids so much.
No, but my mother was a school teacher, and so that's where
I got it. Do they still do a lot of jump roping around here?
Oh, yes,
I mean, the double dutch and all that?
I've seen it over at the school where they have recreation over there. Aisha, my granddaughter, she jumps rope sometimes, but I've never seen her double jump yet.
I noticed that's a big, real big
thing.
Children's thing.
Even on the movie, you see that. I never learned to double jump. I know how to jump the rope. But, and then the children, too, played jackstones a lot.
Too. That with stones, then? Instead of the little metal jacks?
No, some children didn't have the metal things, but they would pick up little stones and play with them.
Right.
Like that.
I think that's the original one.
Yes. Next one, yes.
Right. Are there any lullabies or anything that were common around here? You know, Zora Neale Hurston mentions Mr. Frog in one of her books. Or was that Frog Went According? Or?
No, I don't remember that at all, to be honest with you about that. But, my mother used to sing that song, and I can't even remember what that was because it's been years and years ago.
Oh, Mockingbird?
Yes.
Yeah.
It just comes with, "Push the baby, don't you cry, Mockingbird." Something by and by.
Daddy's going to get you a Mockingbird.
Yes.
Get that Mockingbird, don't sing.
Sing, Mama's going to buy you something.
Diamond ring.
Oh, you know it too, don't you?
Yeah, that's a famous one.
Yes, it is, yes. It just kind of comes back to me with those pieces.
Let's see, what else? She doesn't mention this in any of the books. Maybe it's because she didn't have any kids or anything, but I know sometimes there's different things associated with different, what they call rites of passages, you know, special things for baptisms or birthdays or pregnancy.
I don't know if that was in the book, but I know years ago women when they had
the belly band.
They always had a belly band.
That's what I
they always had a belly band.
Is that something that, and I've got a friend who's a nurse, says she still sees women coming
some
sometimes
women do now,
with that.
I just got through my operation and I had a, they don't call them belly bands now, they call them abdominals, suppose.
Yes, it is.
Same identical thing, but they don't call it that any longer now, belly band, but it's abdominals, suppose now.
Well, you know, when I was pregnant, because my kids are just, although I'm older, my kids are just 7 and almost 9. But I had a friend who's from Jamaica, so I used to live down in Miami, and she had her kids not to. She swore by
a belly band.
Well, basically she said, get yourself a girdle. And she did this, you know. And basically it's the same thing as a belly band. She did it. I didn't. She ended up in better shape than I did. You know, so I think there's something to a lot of that stuff.
It is. Really. You really have to go back to the old roots of training, because that's the thing that made us survive. Because I know when I had my children, my mother insisted that I wear a belly band for 6 or 8 weeks. And then after that time, then it was all different. But now you have a baby today and you go to work tomorrow.
Yeah. it's pretty scary.
Yes, it is. Absolutely. It is.
Yeah. And yet now they're going around. I mean, I think it all comes back in a circle. You know, now they're trying to get laws so that you don't have to go back to work, because they realize that
the damage it does to the body.
Sure.
And then to the children also,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Yeah. So they've just lost sense sometimes.
They certainly have, because on the television this morning they were talking about, one lady was saying, when she was pregnant, she couldn't use the word pregnant on the television.
Yeah.
But now they use everything on the television. They tell you all about how it's done and everything else, and I think some of the things that they have on television is really ridiculous. To me, I think it poisons children's minds when they hear all these things that have about motives and all this stuff on the television.
Yeah. Oh, it's scary. It's scary when you get things
like that.
Well, you just look at some of the soap operas and the kind of people in bed, you know, in the middle of the afternoon. And, you know, I mean, you can't turn off the television if you don't.
No, unless you get that, some of that stuff.
Yeah.
Yes,
absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. Let's see, what else?
I can tell you this, when we first came to Edenville, there were only five streetlights out here.
Oh, really?
No paved roads, no sidewalks, no sewerage, and no running water. There was only one house that had running water, and he ran it. That family had a generator to run the water, and they didn't live right in Edenville, but they lived over on Lake Sevilla, which was in Maitland, and they invited us to come over to see their electric lights and their running water in their two-story house in their basement. And of course, they had lived in Menor Park, but they wanted to leave out of Menor Park and come to in this area to live. And years ago, we didn't call Maitland. Everything was Edenville, but then after time came on, then they found where the lines would go, you know, and so there was a separation from Maitland to Edenville, boundary lines that they called.
So before it was more just an informal
living,
where people
lived. And,
Hi, baby.
Yeah.
Come on.
Hey.
How do you do?
Evan, you want to come closer?
No.
Okay, all right.
Let me try to turn this up.
As high as it goes.
Okay. Your name is Evelyn?
Evelyn Mosley Hester.
Oh, okay.
And I was born in Edenville. October 5th, 1960. To James Mosley and Matilda Clark Mosley.
So is that of the Joe Clark family?
Right. That's both of them. The Mosley side of Edenville.
Let me put this by you so we can hear you better. Okay.
And the Clark, the Joe Clark, that the founder, one of the founders of the town, which was my grandfather. Both my grandfather, Mosley and Clark. So I'm between both of them. So it was we lived a simple life. We had gardens, my daddy did, but my grandfather, well, he had a big house that we would go to. Then he had orange groves. And then he had a horse he would let us ride, but not me. I was too little then. And, well, we had St. Lawrence AME Church, and they always had their regular 4th of July, and their 20th. Well, back in those days, they celebrated the 20th of May. I think that's something to do with the Emancipation Proclamation. I'm not sure, but they didn't explain it to us then. Back in them days, children was singing, and you know, they didn't go through with all of it, so you had to pick it up as you hear it, you know. So,
Do they have Juneteenth celebrations here?
They had what?
Juneteenth?
No.
I don't intend to cut in on
no.
that, but that May 20th.
Yeah. May the 20th.
Well, the celebration was that,
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, and they had down on Lake Sevilla, they used to have, well, the men would go down at night and they would dig these pits and things and they barbecue. They'd stay down there all night long barbecue. And then the ladies fixed the food. They were, you know, kids and all. And we had, we swam in the lake. We didn't have swimming pools. I didn't even know there was such thing as a swimming pool. You got thrown in the lake. If you couldn't swim, you swam. You learned how. So from the church, well, they had bazaars like Saturday night They sold ice cream, peanuts, and all that to make money for the church. Nobody had a lot of money then.
Sure.
And, but we lived. We got along. My mother had, well, they'll have charge accounts, and my mother had charge accounts, and she would buy material and whatnot, and she sold most all of our clothes and half of the neighborhood's children's clothes she sold for. And, but I don't sew.
Now, let's see. Now, Mrs. Dinkins was telling me about that a lot of people, her family made orange marmalade. I imagine a lot of people around here did. What kinds of foods were there that you had back then? And are there a lot of things that are still going on? Do people still barbecue or...
Yes, they still barbecue, but nobody makes marmalade but me.
Uh-huh.
You didn't get none, did you?
No, here I used to make it too.
Yeah, I mean...
I make my kind of cookies.
Yes, but when you make your own marmalade, you got marmalade.
That's right.
You didn't see, you buy it in the store now. But they have their gardens. There's the collard greens and the sweet potatoes, but no one farms anymore much. You know, it's just small garden now. But back in them days, they really planted in order to feed their families. And I mean, they did their own red bliss potatoes. That's what we used to call them, red potatoes, till the store started saying it was bliss potatoes. And then we had corn, you had okra, you had all of the foods you buy now. And then during that time in the summer, I mean, just like we can buy vegetables plentiful now, you couldn't buy it here because they didn't have airplanes flying them in like they doing now, you know. Then after all the larger later years, you get all of this, and it stopped people from planting too much.
Did you grow sugar cane here, or make any?
Yeah, right. It was there where Maloney, huh? Yeah, but the first one was had it. This was before you. I'll tell you where it was and how it went. In front where Maloney place is, you know, that's in front of where the jailhouse is, or was, well, they don't keep them there now, but that was my grandfather's. That's where the old Hurston house was, on this side. And it was a ditch that went through there. But on that far end, where Maloney got, they had a cane field there. They had a big, I can see it right now, big old white horse. And they had, grinding it. They would cut that cane. They had, right on the side of the road, they had about three big vats. I mean, they were huge things sitting they had them sitting, you know what I mean. Where they could put the wood up under there, And they made that syrup right there. They did. Right in that here, right in there.
Pineapple.
Yeah,
I knew I heard him say that. I've only put it on.
Yeah.
So you're answered.
Yeah. And believe it or not, I got 40 pineapples home now. I'm growing them in now.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Hi.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah.
It's a point. Point three.
And this Evelyn is hard. I'm here.
Hello, Miss Evelyn.
How you doing? Okay.
How have you been?
All right. Let's see, what else? And back in them days, it wasn't grown up like Uh-huh. It is. Down it was no I-4, and there was no Wymoon Road there. It perhaps was a lotted element, but they had never cut it through.
Mm-hmm.
And the school used to, they had an orange grove on this side where Kathleen Park is.
Yes.
Not Kathleen Park, but Lake
Love. That's right.
This is where it is
over
in here. Right in here.
Over there.
Yeah.
Yes, right over
and
there.
And they had a lot of cows out there. But Sam Weston had this orange grove down here, and he had the best chocolate persimmon tree. And that was our Sunday afternoon walk, was to walk from Edenville down to the Kennedy. You go through the Western Grove down
uh-huh.
here to get persimmon this time of year. See, they would be getting right.
So they were chocolate? Is that
yeah.
like a chocolate?
It's brown. It's brown.
But they're big, like
yeah,
this.
They call them, yeah.
Oh, we had one of those when I lived in Miami.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. They would drop on our car, and it would be... And
yeah.
You know,
huh?
What was the person's name that had the street?
I don't know, but that's the only one I knew.
Was Mr. Singleton?
Old Lady Becky
Singleton? No, Singleton that lived out on Kennedy, way out on Kennedy. He was the only person living out there. And when I was a girl, there wasn't anybody else living out there.
Let's see. I can't place him.
Uh-huh.
Only place Singleton I know was the one living there on Clark Street, or Eden Street one.
Uh-huh.
Well, used to go up there and sing.